Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew.
I'm not modeling anymore for the two of you.
Loveline.
Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. All right, Chris, Jason, and Carr are all here from the Blame Game on our fabulous MTV network, 5 o'clock, Monday through Friday on, like I said, MTV. And we met these guys. We had them on the TV version of this show, and it worked out so well they're back.
No, wait a minute. Jason's been on the radio.
I was on the
radio. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Jason was on the radio.
Yeah. That's right. I was doing a movie, a separate thing.
Not didn't yet. Call us to do it, though.
Yeah.
You know, just blew us off completely.
It was a separate deal. Yeah, that's fine. Don't worry about
it. It was the Rocky Marciano story.
The Muhammad Ali. Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
You were the scrappy reporter.
A boxer's a boxer, I suppose.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. So let me see what I remember from...
nothing. Okay, that's fine.
No, I'm talking about from my childhood.
Right.
No, from the TV appearance. Started as an improv group, or
that's
at
right,
least
yeah.
An improv group. For some reason, I want to say Chicago, but I may be thinking of Second City.
No, you're right.
Winning Chicago.
Yes, Carl was at Second City, so mm-hmm. You're right on that.
And the Blame Game was basically something that was done in the theater.
That's right.
Yeah.
Before it made it onto MTV.
That's right. And it was a little bit different in the theater in that we could only have half of the couple. I mean, we would take somebody that showed up that night and put their story on stage. One of us in the group would play their ex. So it was different, but the same
right.
Basic idea.
And the question we always get asked on Loveline is, are the questions real? Are these real people? And I guess you get the same questions asked, right?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of them seem a little too good-looking to be real people.
No, they go through an extensive screening period, actually.
I see.
That's
yeah.
The MTV screening.
That's
right.
It. That looks a bit above everything, and then you try and make...
So when our audience goes through.
Right. MTV, that, right. I don't know, if any MTV productions, I don't know if anyone's seen it, they have a giant rock tumbler in the front where the ugly people get sort of pushed off. And they go back into the river of silt, I think
right.
It is, and the attractive people make it through.
Right.
As a matter of fact... me and Drew are actually the ugliest people. Oldest. We are.
Well, Jason's actually 62. He looks very young.
We stake the claim as the oldest and ugliest personalities on MTV.
Proudly, Drew.
Proudly. Oh, yes.
I think to a certain extent, though, you can blame the audience, which is, I suppose, made up of many teenage boys prone to masturbation.
Mm.
So
right.
What you have is, in our first season, we had some normal-looking people. I'm not going to say uggos. They were normal-looking people. On
You'd
the,
say
on
uggos
the
to us if we were on the radio.
That's true. That's true. But they didn't rate. You know what I'm saying? It's that simple. It's like the ratings go down when the people aren't as pretty.
You know
what
Jason said, Adam? Teenagers masturbate excessively.
That's right.
Yeah. Just teenagers.
That's right.
No.
And what about Dick Clark? He's the world's oldest teenager. Does that mean he's the world's oldest excessive masturbator? Is that what you're calling Mr. Clark?
Draw all your conclusions on your own.
All right. Here's my point, as I was saying to someone the other day. Average people are ugly. You're used to good-looking people.
That's true.
Some,
right.
I don't know where I was, but... I think it was at Lake Havasu, or I was looking at some like bootleg porn or something. I don't know where I was, but the person I was with was commenting that the women were all very unattractive because he was calling them ugly, but I was saying, no, they're average. This
right.
is normal people naked. Don't look that great.
Right.
Right.
They don't have well-cropped and well-groomed areas and tan lines. They're not airbrushed.
The cropping.
VIP.
It's true.
You take your average person, strip them down naked, and put a light on them and take some pictures. It ain't going to be pretty.
It's also amazing the makeup and stuff and the transformation
oh, yeah.
that MTV... I mean, look at Cara.
All right. You know,
this is what we call her Clark Kent attire.
Yeah.
This is her...
Got to put her through the machine.
She's in disguise
right.
in
yeah.
real life.
And I can see the disappointment in people's eyes, too, when they see me on the street and, like, these 15-year-old boys. Like, you're... Oh, God, you're
Cara's sister.
My world is
you're not
shattered.
Wearing
what's going
that kind
on?
Of skirt. What's the
well,
matter?
Well, I'll tell you,
you're so much smaller.
You guys, here's where you guys made the mistake. You got hooked up with the right people. Now, Drew and I got hooked up with the wrong people, and we took hordes of horrible pictures.
Oh.
We've taken the world's worst publicity pictures. I do not kid you. We talk about it on a weekly basis on this show. We have some of the worst publicity pictures ever that were then made in millions of these things.
Worldwide.
Yeah, well, they loaded up C-130 airplanes, and they pushed them out like, you know, propaganda when they're trying to get the enemy to surrender in Vietnam. And they're all over the place. And so we have one of the unique distinctions of actually being better looking than our pictures. So when we meet people... People say to us, you look better.
Yeah. In some way, you look thinner, you look healthier.
You look better. We get that constantly.
No, we look like I look like a cancer patient in this picture.
Right. It's not that we look good now. It's that we look horrible in all these pictures that were taken. Right.
Would you like that better, or would you rather have the better publicity?
Adam had a little tizzy fit about the pictures. I think he'd rather have those pictures taken.
I think I would, too. Yeah. And here's the thing.
You want to be attractive. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to look like a completely different person, but like, you know.
I get a lot of compliments in real life for not being as ugly as I am in my picture.
Right.
That's while you're at it, I get those man show pictures retaken too.
Yeah. See, there you go.
What? When you're going by the bus stop, those ones.
We don't look bad.
There's a super weird angle of the woman in the green top have on that.
I like
too.
That.
Like,
well, that wasn't a posed picture. They just yanked that off of a bit that we did.
Oh, she was moving then.
She was like moving, and we were doing a bit. It wasn't. I don't know where the hell they got those pictures, but it wasn't a posed situation. That was a how to watch a baseball game bit, I think we did. That's why we're wearing baseball hats, right? Like baseball jerseys?
All right.
And we never posed for those. Alan?
Yes.
You're 19.
Yes.
What's up?
There's a 32-year-old lady that I've had a crush on. She recently got divorced. And what the deal is my aunt and her are best friends. My aunt's about 50. I don't know what that deal is, but anyways, she's taken me out a couple of times, gone to the movies, I've met her kids, and it comes to the point where I want to tell her, you know, I like you and everything, but I wussy out, and I need to know what I should do.
Because you're concerned this can't go anywhere because of the age difference?
Well,
he's not thinking that far.
Not really.
He's 19, he's a puss.
No, it's just that...
You're a part pussy, you have to admit that. Right? Was it your mother's father a pussy,
well,
I believe?
It's
what's that?
The only rejection that I'm afraid of.
I see.
You know, right. I mean...
You're not a wuss, you're just scared of rejection.
Well,
and retarded.
She's 32, but she doesn't look like your average 32-year-old. She looks like 21. She gets compliments everywhere as we go.
All right.
I mean, she's hot.
Did she just get out of a divorce or a bad relationship?
Her husband was really...
Yeah, you know I'm going at him. Yeah. This is a typical pattern.
And Alan, by the way, I don't want to correct your grammar, but it's not everywhere as you go, it's every places you go. Okay?
Hey, I am from...
Everywhere as man's goes.
All right, so, hey, Alan?
Yes?
Here's what you need to do. Don't ask her out, per se. Just ask her if she wants to get a cup of coffee.
Well, he has gone out with her.
I know, but...
We do that. We
do it alone.
No, here's the deal. No. She is on a rebound from an awful relationship. You know how these women, older women, will get these boy toys as a way of just not having a relationship?
I do.
No, that's what happens. Alan, you don't exist as a potential relationship, really, to her.
Right.
She doesn't want that now. She sees you as sort of an object to kind of spend time with and have fun with. And it's a way of not having a relationship. So if you're developing feelings for her, it's not a good thing. And the age difference is substantial. She has kids. You're 19.
Yes.
Maybe if you can go casually along with this, fine. But if you can't, start dating other people.
Right, but you can. There is potentially some very good sex here.
And he's not going to be rejected. He's not going to be rejected.
No, he will not. Not sexually, no. Angel? And if you do, let me tell you, my new angle for any woman over 30 is, come on, you're horny. even if they say no the first time, I'm just going to go, come on, you know you're horny. You're over 30. Yeah. You're horny.
Yes, I am.
I will go down on you for an hour and a half. Now, come on. Come on. Swear to Christ. Come on. You want me to sign something? Fine. Draft it up. I'll sign it right here. Yeah, that would work, wouldn't it? Don't you think?
That's an hour and a half. Good God.
That's
BS. But what I'm saying is women, see, here's the problem. You try to pick up like a 17, 18-year-old woman, I mean when you're a younger person, they ain't that horny, so they have to like you. You know what I mean? There's got to be something there. They got to, oh, you're cute. I got a crush on you, whatever. But once you start getting, the women start getting a little over 30, it's like, first off, virginity, that went out with the Truman administration. Number two, all guys are pigs, you know what I mean? You're horny. And yeah. Come on, don't play coy with me.
Right? What's the peak? Sexual peak is 30 or something for women.
A little bit over 30. You're not getting any younger.
All guys are pigs. You know that anyway. I like that part.
All guys are pigs. You know that anyway. I will go down on you for an hour and a half. Come on.
Like,
oh, what about it? Yeah.
Sounds dirty.
Right here.
I think the virgin thing is overrated as a plus. You know what I mean? A guy said to me the other day, "Dude, she's a virgin, man." I'm like, you know what? I'm too old to be de-virginizing anyone at this point. If a girl is a virgin at my age,
Leave that to the 18-year-olds.
Yeah, I could see myself nailing a 14, 15-year-old. I agree with you. But, you know, 23, 24 and a virgin,
yeah
there's some baggage wrong, there. Right? There's baggage. That hymen is filled with baggage.
Oh, my God.
That's right. Angel?
Hi.
You're 19.
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, well, me and my fiancé have been trying to get me pregnant for the last 6 months.
Why don't you wait till you're married?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I realize that's the old-fashioned way. Mm-hmm. That's where things used to be done.
Oh, Dr. Drew.
I don't know. I just want to happen soon.
You know my theories about girls named Angel. Right?
Anyway, it's not working out, and he has diabetes, and I was wondering if maybe that's why it isn't working.
It could affect his fertility. How much, is he on any other medication besides insulin?
No, not that I know of.
Why at 19 are you so hell-bent on getting pregnant?
Too young.
I don't know, just kind of want to start a family and stuff.
Yeah, but does he make enough money? Do you make enough money?
Yeah, he makes a lot of money.
Oh, boy, let's all...
How much is a lot?
Let's all figure out what a lot is.
Yeah, I want to know.
It could be MTV standard of a lot, which isn't really any money.
I don't have a kid, and I'm barely surviving, seriously. So.
How much is a lot? He drives a forklift, right?
No.
What's he drive?
A Viper.
A Viper? Wait a minute.
That's a big Dodge Sport.
How's he going to move any boxes in a Viper? He drives a Viper?
Yeah.
You're dating a drug dealer?
No, he's not a drug dealer.
What's he do for a living?
He runs this ATM payphone company.
All right. I'm sure that'll
be... Is he much older? Is that why you guys want to start trying to have a kid now? Or?
No, he's the same age as me.
Why don't you wait? It's so young. You have so much stuff to do.
This is a cultural thing. Like, are you Mexican, Angel?
No.
What are you? How'd you get a name like Angel if you're not Mexican?
I don't know. I just did.
All right. What's your nationality?
I'm white.
That's it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Sound like you got something in you.
No.
White trash?
No.
What's your religion?
I don't really have a religion.
All right. Well, good. Listen, there is no God, but if there was, he would punish you.
It sounds like you want to have a baby because you have nothing better to do. You know what I mean? And that's not necessarily a great reason.
Yeah, just wait till you're married. Wait till you guys set up house and all that stuff. Just give it a little time, okay?
And get a hobby. Start whittling.
You can get an ovulation kit to try to time when you're going to birth feel better.
Don't tell her.
You may want to see a fertility clinic if this goes on more than a few months. And indeed, diabetes can affect fertility.
All right, but everyone just close their eyes for a second and think back on how stupid they were at 19.
Exactly.
I mean, think about what a mess you were at 19. Think about what it is you didn't know at 19. And then imagine yourself in charge of a human.
Wait a minute. What I did know, it's much harder to realize. This is what I didn't know.
Right. I shouldn't have been in charge of myself at 19.
Right.
Actually, yeah, I wasn't. Satan was. Right. You're right. Carl. Carl, you're 26.
Carl? Wait, Carl? Carl?
Yeah.
Good. What's up with your phone, Carl?
I got it working now.
You got it working now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are you, Radar? I mean, shouldn't your phone just work when you pick it up?
No, I was distracted by something else. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, hold on a second.
He's distracted by something else.
Idiot. I got to tell you one thing about our callers. And it's really, you know what I like about stupid people? They're undaunted. You know, they're not bothered by anything. It's like when you turn on People's Court and the guy's wearing like a velour shirt with some oil stains on the front of it, you think to yourself, hey, how often are you on TV, buddy? How often are you in front of the judge? You know, unfazed. completely unfazed. Being on a national radio program, unfazed. Completely unfazed. Not going to turn the TV off. Not going to stop monkeying with the phone. Not going to form a question. Yeah. It's like I'm on. It's as if they're like Larry King, you know? Like, oh, I do 6 hours of live radio every night. This is just one more affiliate I'm going to be on. I mean, how often are some of these people on?
They think it's the first step to their career.
That's right. I mean, I would be like nervous and accommodating if I called this show.
Like you always are.
Like I always am. That's right. Sarah?
Yeah?
You're 19. What's up?
Well, Dr. Drew, I've got a question. I've been with my fiancé for 3 years now. We were in high school when we first started getting together.
Yep.
And what happened was we didn't, like, start dating first. We just had sex. And then we started dating, and then things got more serious. But within the past about year and a half, like, every once in a while, actually, it's been happening more often, is when we'll have sex, I'll start bleeding. And I'm not really sure why.
That's normal.
That's normal.
That can be normal, yes.
Well,
are you on the pill or Provera or anything?
I'm on nothing.
How come? Well, why don't we do, maybe you're pregnant.
No, I'm not. I know I'm not.
How do you know that?
Huh?
How do you know that?
Oh, I've taken tests, but We've never used any kind of protection. And
well, why don't you start?
Well, now, hold on. I got there. Did you just take the written test, or did you take the practical?
Well, what do you think?
No, listen, goofball.
I took a pregnancy.
Yeah, you did.
Like an EPT.
I know, but instead of constantly just taking tests and waiting to find out if you're pregnant, why don't you just get some contraception?
Some condoms. Well,
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as you have a valid reason, that's all right. I didn't know you didn't know.
I don't
want to
tell my parents because I still live at home right now.
Why don't you use condoms?
Because he doesn't want to.
What are you going to tell your parents when you are pregnant?
I don't know.
All right, listen, this is why society's eroding. Really stupid people are getting pregnant. I mean, do the math, everybody. Sarah is going to be the mom.
Yeah.
And you're 19, and all right. I don't even want to get into the engaged thing at 19. Yeah. Just leave it.
You can register at drdrew.com. They'll send you free condoms.
Oh,
send you free condoms. You got that?
Yeah, but
no humiliation.
No, it'll go to her parents' house, and her parents will find it.
If your boyfriend absolutely refuses to use condoms, and you're too wimpy to stand up to him, then get on the pill.
True. Is it true they...
No, don't tell her that. If he refuses to use condoms,
he's a horrible guy.
Well,
by the way, women are in control of this, too.
Exactly.
It's a very simple solution.
Exactly.
No condoms? Okay, no more.
Exactly.
I'm just trying to prevent the inevitable child here. That's all I'm
bad.
Sarah, get on the pill, you goofball. You're going to get pregnant.
Okay, well, I've got another question.
All right, happy abortion. I'll see you in hell.
I don't want an abortion.
Well, you're getting one. or you're having a kid, or you're giving up for adoption. It's those are your options.
What's the other question?
We have sex. I don't even like to have sex. Oh. And I don't know, is there something wrong with me?
You're 19.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't use my "come on, I know you're horny" line on you. You see what I'm saying? Now, in another 10, 11 years, I'll use it on you, and you'll go for it.
I mean, things just don't turn me on.
No, right. You're probably not into this relationship that much either, right?
What?
Are you really into this relationship?
Yeah, I love
it. You've been together since you were 16.
You don't know anything else.
I know. You've got to try something else.
Yeah. You may be done with this one, Sarah.
What? I'm supposed to be getting married in a couple months.
Oh. Yeah, don't do it.
Take your time. Take some time
don't
to think
it.
About it.
Rent runaway bride and get out of there.
That's right. And
everyone should listen to Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And they never back out the day before the wedding. They back out at the wedding. That's what I love about movies. They actually make their getaway in their gowns.
Yeah, on the horse, galloping.
Yeah, it's nice. I like that.
You know what?
Tyler?
Yeah.
You're 20. What's up?
My girlfriend has expressed concern before about when I'm giving oral to make sure that I don't exhale any air into her, because she has heard or read that it can be dangerous to her, and I want to know if this is true, because I'm kind of worried about it.
Yes. You know how many women died last year through this method?
Not the same as secondhand smoke.
Yeah. Almost as many as secondhand smoke.
Okay. I mean, I totally see what you're saying, but so is there any danger?
What are we saying?
I don't know what we're saying.
Yes, there's some validity.
All right. Well, hold on a second. Hold on. If you performing oral sex on her, blowing air up into that region, killed her by getting a bubble and causing an aneurysm or something like that. Now, when you're having vigorous sex in your penis, which is
exactly
right,
and I tried to tell her the same thing.
Well, there has been a report.
And what did she say?
And she said, well, you know, that this is what I've read, this is what I've heard.
All right, Tyler, here's
my head. Hold on. Before you tell Tyler, before you tell her what Drew says, this is a golden opportunity to get out of oral sex.
Completely.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Don't argue with her.
That's
like, honey, I love you too much to go down on you. I'd hate to see anything happen to you. Now finish me off.
Method of just blowing up the girl like a balloon or something like that.
Using her as some sort of scuba device.
That's a lot of air.
You would have to use a great deal of pressure.
Would it be like sealed off?
Yes,
and, like,
sealed off, right.
Come on, you know?
But there is an actual...
There have been a report of pelvic vein getting air and then an embolism resulting into the lung.
Through oral sex.
Through somebody blowing very hard. And it's reported. Everybody knows this. Given the number of people that perform oral sex every year, how many deaths happen this way? Basically zero.
How many people perform oral sex every year?
At least three.
All right.
That was a unique situation, which a drunk EMT thought he was performing mouth to mouth, and just happened to get it wrong. It's a horrible accident. He couldn't tell her.
And see, I get you on a day delay, so I'm making sure she hears this tomorrow.
All right.
Right.
Tyler, she's fine.
Let her listen.
Okay.
All right.
Relax.
I get you on a day delay. Who are your guests?
From the Blame Game. You watch your Blame Game on MTV?
Yes.
Yeah. Say hi to them.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
What's up, guy?
All right. All right, but if you hiccup, you'll give her a brain cancer.
Okay.
All right, that is true.
Okay.
All right. All right, should we take a little break
please.
Here? Who do you want to talk to when we come back?
Jeannie,
really. Oh, Jeannie is 18 years old. Why does she keep having sex with 40-year-olds? Let me just say hi to her. Come on. Jeannie?
Yeah?
You having sex with 40-year-olds?
Yeah.
All right. You can use my I know you're horny line on the 40-year-old guys if you want.
Gross.
Okay. And by the way, women can always use that line on a guy if they want.
No line's really necessary.
Yeah. No, that's true.
It's a waste of time.
That's ridiculous. All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. I'll tell you about where you can get on the Blame Game and all that good stuff when we come back after this.
Love line. We'll be right back.
Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Kara, Jason, and Chris are all here from the Blame Game, 5 o'clock, Monday through Friday, on the fabulous MTV. They are currently looking for ex-couples who appear, which is interesting, to be between the ages of 18 and 24, who live around the Southern California area. So I'm going to give this phone number out if anyone wants to call. And when do you guys tape next?
Sunday. Over the next couple weeks, though, we'll be taping.
Okay. And you're out here. Where do you guys tape that?
Hollywood Center.
Oh, really?
You're familiar.
2 steps from your
sound.
Yeah. Hey, swing by. You're taping when? You said
Sunday. This week.
Oh.
Yeah, if you can't get your fill of MTV where you are, Adam, come on over.
Out.
Yeah.
It's fun.
All the glam.
Let me give the...
We got a bowl of peanut M&Ms we all share. It's really
You guys
good.
Like coffee? We got coffee?
Wow.
Lukewarm.
Let me give the number out.
We got all the goodies.
Let me give the number out. 310-752-8142. If you're a couple, an ex-couple, and you want to hash it out on the Blame Game, call that number. 310-752-8142. And no doubt I'll be in here tomorrow night.
Oh.
Minus Gwen, I believe. Oh.
Why did we have to come when the Blame Game cast was on?
Yeah, you guys should have come with No Doubt was going to be on.
Yeah.
But no Gwen.
Yeah. No Gwen.
Gwen loves Gwen. Adam.
She's
why she wants to be here by herself.
Oh. Gwen has been banned from the show, but it worked out nicely with her plans because she doesn't want to do the show, basically. Although, I don't know, was Gwen banned or was No Doubt banned? I don't think we should have No Doubt on.
Why the band? What happened? Were they just crazy and tore it up?
I like the no doubt guys. Okay, you're right. Okay. All right, you're right, you're right. Now, Gwen, here's what happened. Here's what happened, quite frankly, with No Doubt and Gwen, but mostly Gwen, I believe. And, Drew, you help me if I screw this story up, would you please?
Well, you had two Gwen mishaps.
Two Gwen run-ins.
Uh-oh.
I'm trying to think. Well, forget about the first one.
One was at the Weenie Roasters.
One was at, one was something I said to her in front of her dad. It was no big deal, but it was taken a little out of context.
About her clothing.
It was something. But the point is the second time she was on, they were on this show, or the first time they were on this show, and this was about 4.5 years ago.
You know,
or
the first time they were on the show, and back me up, it was about 16 years ago or 14 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, I was sitting next to the Behind the Music guy. I had to go to Las Vegas yesterday for something, and and the guy that edited that film was sitting next to me. He said, yeah, the only old pictures they could find, did you hear about this? The only old pictures they could find of No Doubt were from Loveline, circa 1988 or something.
Well, they were on this show, must have been about 4.5 years ago. And they're nice. At least the guys are nice. Gwen is kind of nice, too, so I hear. But what happened was is she said, we were talking about like interracial dating, and she said, I dated an Indian guy once, or for a while. I used to date an Indian guy. And I said, what kind of Indian? Was it woo-woo-woo Indian or 7-Eleven Indian?
Asshole.
And it was
not received well.
Yeah, well, it was the guy who was sitting in the studio with me.
Right.
It was Tony. And so it was like, we went to a commercial, and I was kind of laughing, and they were kind of laughing, because he was sitting right there. And I said to him during the commercial, I'm sorry, I was just making a, you're not offended, I was just, trying to make a joke, it's part of my job.
He
was
like,
he was like, yeah, no, that's cool. And that was early on in the show, relatively early on in the show, right? And then we sat here for about another hour and a half, and we had a good show and all that kind of stuff. And then they left, and everything was kosher and cool and everything. And then I think like 6 months later, the album exploded, and they were on top, and everything was great. And we invited them back on the show, and she said, I'm not coming back on because Adam's racist. And I said, well, she couldn't have taken the comment too far out of context because we're all sitting here. Everyone sort of laughed. I mean, Drew, you were here. It wasn't a big
deal. I didn't remember it even.
Didn't even register.
No, yeah.
It was like just another.
You debriefed afterwards, so everybody was cool. They all left, and then this comes up.
Right? And then this comes up, and it's like, I'm not doing the show because he's a racist. And I don't know. I think people throw that around. It is true. I'm a racist.
I was gonna say, you're racist.
Yeah, that is true.
Sexist.
Well, yeah, that's true. I am. Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah, but I'm not going to argue with that. But that wasn't a great example of my true racism. There, it really wasn't.
A glancing blow.
Yeah, and people use racist like it's a bad thing. By the way, so we got in this argument, and I don't know what the hell happened. But my feeling was, hey, kiss my ass. Listen, kiss it, kiss it, just kiss it. I like the rest of the guys in the band, but Gwen can kiss my ass, and we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how time works out. I think my little plan is working so far.
Poppy.
I've already got
Poppy.
A list.
Yes. Tom and Adrian are coming on tomorrow night, right? Yes, Ed. Yeah. Very nice guys. And actually, Tony's a nice guy as well, too. I saw him. I saw him all at Darren's from Goldfinger's wedding a couple years ago. Yeah. Cash Bar, by the way. Cash Bar. Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Darren is all class. Come on.
Darren is class. Yes. $8 for a Heineken at Darren's wedding. Jeannie?
Yeah?
I swear to Christ. Cash Bar over there. You're 18. What's up?
I have sex with 40-year-olds and 46-year-olds who I don't know.
Yeah,
what if you don't know them?
I don't know them. I one time I was drunk and slept with one, and the other time I went over and I met him on the internet or something.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Good news.
Okay. So what's that all about?
Well, I was molested, but the kid who molested me was only 2 years older than me.
He wasn't in his 40s.
No.
No.
I maybe it had something to. What?
He was my brother.
Your brother.
Your brother abused you.
Yeah, and then some woman did, but she was 60.
60?
60?
Wow. Who abused your brother?
Probably the woman, because she was their babysitter. But
wow. And then what? How's your family beside that?
My mom was abusive. My dad was never around.
All right. Well, the dad never around me except you up for the older guy.
Well, there you go.
But the kind of chaotic way in which you're manifesting this is really about having been abused sexually. Have you ever been treated for that?
Kind of.
Kind of?
Kind of.
What's that mean? You called a psychic one then?
No, I'm in therapy now.
Okay,
all right.
Good.
All right, we'll talk about
that. Right. Do you talk about banging around with the 40-plus club?
Oh, no, I don't really like her.
Yeah. You don't like the therapist?
Yeah.
Just hang in there and talk about this stuff. Just put it on the table and see what comes out, all right?
Okay.
Really, you're going to hurt yourself this way. You're not. Yeah. It's not going to make you happy continuing the road you're down.
I mean, it doesn't sound like you're happy now. I mean, you wouldn't be calling otherwise.
Right.
So clearly you got to do something else.
Jeannie?
Yeah?
Yeah. You could be hurt emotionally and physically by that huge, saggy scrotum on those 40-plus guys. I know. Drew's in his 40s, and the scrotum hangs down like a duffel bag.
Now, wait a minute.
Out of the shower.
I don't get anywhere near the gravity effect that you do.
Oh, really? Yes, I do have a tremendous scrotum. Thank you. Thank you. That's right. I just set you up so you can talk about my scrotum.
I figured that. But, Jeannie, listen, these guys are objectifying you. These are not real relationships. And you're not ready for... You're not looking for a relationship from guys that are sort of... You're trying to use to repair something from your past. It doesn't work like that.
I was talking to porn veteran Ron Jeremy last week about Rex Cabo, Mr. Elastic Scrotum. And I said...
Is that a porn name? Or is
that's
a
name
porn
of a porn movie. And I said, Ron, how does that work? Because I never did catch that movie. And he said, well, Rex was a guy who lived out in Cabo San Lucas, and we call him Rex Cabo, and he had this scrotum. I mean, it was like...
stretchy.
It was like a
was
elastic.
Was he a real guy?
Yeah. He said he'd be getting oral sex, he'd pull it up over the girl's head.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I said...
You should come with a warning label.
So he said, you know, the thing about porn is, you give them lemons, they make lemonade.
Well, it's also everything sort of... You talk to Ron Jeremy, anything's like...
Yeah, but what I mean is, what is a liability in a sort of freakish side effect to somebody... For the porn industry, they'll make a movie on it.
Yeah.
They're going to go, we have this guy with this bizarre pliable scrotum.
Yes.
Wait a minute, Rex Cabo, Mr. Elastic Scrotum. There we go.
You got a following.
That's right.
You'll make millions.
That's right.
The balls look like the chin of an old Chinaman.
He probably has something called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is a rubber man syndrome.
Oh, it is, yeah. Oh, yeah. Imagine a scrotum, what you could do with that. You make make one of those like fireman trampolines out of it, like someone jump out of a burning building onto your scrotum, stretch it out.
Neck and go,
Right.
Yeah, same kind of guy.
That's Ripley's Believe It or Not material.
Yeah. Matt? You could go that way, or you could go the porn angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I go the porn.
Either way.
Matt, you're 19. What's up?
Oh, a new kind of Ripley's.
I've been with my girlfriend about 4 months. I went on a trip with my ex-girlfriend like a week into our relationship, and I ended up having sex with my ex.
Of course.
Huh?
Of course. Where was the trip to?
Alaska.
It's cold up there.
How did your current girlfriend how did that sit with her that you were traveling with your ex-girlfriend? Did she know about it?
Yeah, she knew, and I mean, she didn't really like it much, but she wasn't like, no, I don't want you going or anything.
Were you really boyfriend and girlfriend at that point?
We'd been together a week, and we kind of had made it like that we were together.
It's real common for there to be some overlap.
Yeah.
One relationship winds down, another one fires up.
Yeah, I always had the same thing. It was like one girlfriend, and pow, 14 months later, I was getting laid again by a new girl. Maybe 14, 18 months later. Yeah.
Dog years.
A lot of overlap. All right, Brett?
Basically, I'm just wondering if I should tell her about it just because...
No. Listen, no reason to talk about someone you've already had sex with.
Right.
And it's no big deal. Okay, I mean, you really break it down. You say you had sex with her 1,402 times instead of 1,401 times.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a week into it.
So early on in the relationship. And
yeah.
It's so much more serious with my current girlfriend now. And
okay. Right. It's bothering you. You feel guilty about it. But it's a common thing for people to overlap like that. You really probably didn't really know where that relationship was going.
Oh, listen. But you know when you're going to Alaska with someone, you're getting laid.
Yeah. Next girlfriend.
If I took my goddamn mom to Alaska, I'd bang her.
Well, no, you take an ex-girlfriend to the grocery store. And
you screw in the frozen foods. Yeah, you can't go anywhere with someone. Listen, once you've had sex with someone like hundreds of times.
Yeah, the boundaries are limited.
I mean, it's like, and that's again where you just use my line. Come on, you're horny. Come on. Listen, I know.
I think that's different for guys and
it is a little.
Because once it's done with me, I'm like, I don't want to visit that pasture again.
That's why I get you drunk. And I make this excuse. I know the last 6 months I sucked. But think back to when we met.
That one time was really good. Remember that one time in Vegas?
Yeah, remember I put all that coke on my dick? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do kind of remember.
That's the way it's going to be.
Does anybody ever get busted? Have you ever gotten a call where a guy got busted because his girlfriend heard his voice, like recognized his voice? Does anyone ever get busted?
Rarely something like that.
It's rare. And yeah. I don't know why.
I got to think it happens.
That's why I would never.
If you're calling from a small town or something like that, it just seems like it would.
You got a thick accent going on.
Even if it's not her listening, it's one of her friends or one of her coworkers.
One of your jail friends.
If they ended up breaking up because of that reason, that would be a fantastic blame game story.
That's true.
You know, it would.
Yeah, where would they call it?
They would then call
310-752-8142.
We need you.
That is right. All right, let's just check out one more call before we
go. So
he is. He's
a killer transition.
He loves it.
He's glowing. Kristen?
Are we going to play some Dusties on him?
You're 14. You're 14. What's up?
Well, me and my boyfriend, we've been out for like 5 months, and we've hardly even kissed. And if we even hug, I have to be the one hugging him and stuff. And he's always like shy around me and stuff.
How old is he again?
He's 15.
Yeah, maybe just him sort of trying to figure this all out.
Yeah, that's fine.
Guys at 15 can be pretty lame.
Yeah. Kristen?
Yeah.
Bring it up to him a little bit, gently.
Yeah.
Guys also at that age want to know what they should do. They want guidance.
Yeah, they need to be led.
There's nothing natural about a male's behavior in a relationship.
No.
It's all learned. Taught by right. women.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
We understand?
Yeah.
All right.
And to whatever extent there is natural behavior, it's dangerous.
Yeah, I don't trust the guys who have too many instincts to where, like... Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very true. Jesus Christ, I was looking at my ninth grade yearbook today.
Oh, why?
Well, I don't
want to cause yourself.
I don't own any yearbooks from any things because I think they're like $12 or something, and
the
Corollas, just wasn't in the cards. But I was sitting in my office, or in someone else's office, in my office building, and there was that yearbook because I think we're doing some kind of a back to school show or something. And I started thumbing through it, and I was just looking at, I guess when you own a yearbook, you may dust it off periodically. You get a new girlfriend or boyfriend, you show them this, you show them that. But if you don't own the yearbook and you graduated ninth grade in 1979, then it's been 21 years. I hadn't seen the thing in 20 some odd years. It was bizarre.
Shocking.
Yeah, it was really, especially my hair. That was the most shocking thing about the whole thing.
Did you have like a big kind of afro thing going on? Yeah. Was it really out of control?
It was combed over and pulled down.
Fighting every instinct your hair has.
Yeah,
right.
it was great. I was like looking through the yearbook and I was going, most popular. Oh, Chris Dittman, he's dead. That guy died. Yeah, that's sad. And then I turned the page and I saw my head and I was like, oh my God, sweet love of Jesus, no! I looked up in the sky at the camera, POV. Oh, no! I started weeping at that point. All right, we will take ourselves a little break. We got the Blame Game crew in here, and we'll be back with more of your calls after this.
We'll be right back with more.
Loveline. Kara, Jason, and Chris are all here from the Blame Game. That is on Monday through Friday on the fabulous MTV, which I'm told is a network.
Brand new episode.
Can be called network. If you want to,
an online program.
If you want to get on that show, it is 310-752-8142. All right. I'm now told, unfortunately, that Darren from Goldfinger is on the other line. It seems like almost every time I talk smack about someone, pow, there they are.
Well, I'm seeing David Arquette tomorrow night. I'll say,
oh, you are?
Send his love to
him. Yeah, I talked about how crazy he was, and he walked through that door about 3 minutes later, and he wasn't due to be on the show or anything. I started talking about how crazy David Arquette was. Pow, he walks through the door. He's on his way home from a Lakers game. He was listening to Love Line, told the guy to pull off the freeway, and he was in here within 3 minutes. I started talking about how nutty he was. Also,
how much we loved him. What a great guy he is.
great guy.
Yeah.
I said he was nuts. Walked through the door, and someone said, hey, aren't you worried about him showing up here? And I said, he's so nuts, he'll never find the studio. Pow, he walked right through the door. He just stormed right through the door. And you should have been here. That was
a surreal moment. Yeah.
Oh, it was surreal, yeah. Man. I mean, I wasn't planning on talking about him. I wasn't anything. It was just, I was talking about nutty people in general. David Arquette came in, pow, through the door. I'm not going to talk about him anymore because I'm scared. Drew, put your chair in front of the door.
Seriously, put that TV in front of
him. All right, so Darren from Goldfinger, who you know I love, right? I have to say that for him.
Well, he loves you.
I mean, it's more in love.
Yeah.
There's a lust involved with this relationship. But I went to his wedding a couple of years ago, and I was mentioning that it's the last time I saw some of the guys from No Doubt who will be on tomorrow night. And then I spoke about him having a cash bar at his wedding and $8 for a Heineken, and now guess who's on the phone?
Unfortunately, Darren's on the line. Everybody's told me that every time you talk about me, there's love. I haven't felt the love yet.
Oh, brother, you were just in here feeling the love a couple of weeks ago.
Adam, there was like two kegs there. You could have drawn from the keg. You had to have a Heineken.
Was it? Am I lying?
No, it was.
No,
I have no money. I'm not No Doubt.
No, I understand. No, I know, Darren. I was glad to reach in my pocket and pay for my own.
Did Brian and Darren go away on Darren's skateboard with some hands?
No. He had a moped. Please.
A moped with some cans on it.
They honeymoon in Burbank. There's a beautiful Ramada by the airport.
We haven't honeymooned yet.
Oh, you haven't?
Aww. We have no money.
Now, Darren, when was... What? You mean, you're talking about that Darren's ass sings the hits, didn't sell millions of records?
You want to hear something funny, dude? How you say it's a lust for me? I wrote a song about you called Adam Crow, the second man I'd have sex with.
Yeah.
First.
Wayne Gretzky.
It's a good choice.
That's true.
It
looks like his wife, too.
I think that song is somewhere in the studio.
Oh, really?
I think it's here, the Wayne Gretzky song,
yeah.
Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is a good song.
You're the second.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
It's in my car.
And if something should happen to Wayne, though, I would assume his duties and his role,
his
right?
His position,
well,
as it were.
When I'm with Wayne, I'm thinking of you.
I understand. All right. And Darren?
Yeah.
When did you get married? Was it about 2 years ago?
August 1st, 2 years ago. Almost 2 years ago.
So it'll be 2 years ago. Over at the Sportsman's Lodge, the beautiful, beautiful event, except for the cash bar. All right, Darren, I'd really like to see you go on a vacation, or at least a honeymoon.
So would I.
Yeah. Well, can we do something about that?
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you, you can put me down for $150. I don't think I ever got you a wedding gift. I really mean it.
Well, Adam, your presence at the bachelor party where I almost got killed,
yeah,
and at the wedding was present enough.
All right, Darren, God bless you. Right, I'm going to hang up on you now.
Okay, hang up on me.
All right, Darren, thanks for calling.
Adam, bye, Drew.
Thanks for the confirmation on the cash bar, though. But I do stand corrected. There was probably a keg there, but I think he had it buried in one of the gardens nearby, and I didn't see any of it.
It was 50 cents for a cup.
Yeah, seriously, come on, Lynn? Hello?
Jamie.
Yeah, sorry.
Hi, Jamie.
My mom.
All right, Jamie, what's up?
Mom was holding on?
No, she was bitching at me on the other phone.
All right, what's going on?
My boyfriend, I've been going out with him for about almost 4 months now, and I've been doing something really bad. I've been checking his online account, and I've seen him, like, he's sent his picture to a couple, like, gay men, because I look at their profiles, and they've sent him back, but he's talking to one guy in particular now that I went to high school with, and he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I checked his email today, and it said, page me later so we can do you know what. Yes, cue the music.
Yeah.
And you just been talking to your mom about this?
Oh, no, my mom does not know.
Where is your mom? Did she go to a different part of the castle or nearby?
No, I'm not there a lot. That's another story.
I see, but your mom's in the room or somewhere nearby.
No. She was on the phone. She's at home. I'm not at home right now.
I see. Can we hear her voice in the background?
You probably could. She yells a lot.
Where are you living right now?
Right now, well, I live at home, but I don't have a room. That's another story.
Uh-oh. All right. I'm more confused than I ever was. Is your mother in the house?
No.
No, she is not.
No.
They want some sort of...
You're at home. You're at home, but she is not.
No, I'm at my best friend's house right now. She's
okay. All right. All right. It's all good. All right, Lynn, this is very suspicious.
Any other signs or indications?
Wait, come on, it's more than suspicious.
Yeah, he's trying to confirm.
Right. He has to talk to him about this, although he's going to deny.
I can't let him know I'm checking his email, then it's just going to be a mess.
Well, first of all, I mean, I think if you had this is just my opinion, and people tell me if they think that I'm wrong. If you have a kind of drive or like a pull in you to snoop,
right?
You know, something's intrinsically inside that something is not kosher. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, so what was it in the first place that gave you that feeling?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just when every guy I've been with, he's always like screwed around with me behind my back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I'm just every time I go into a new relationship, I'm very cautious.
You're insecure. Yeah.
So it's just a general
distrust.
She
picks bad guys.
Yeah. All right. Well, here you go, Lynn. You picked him, therefore he's flawed.
Yeah.
All right? Well, we just did the love line math. Break up with him.
No.
Yes. What do you mean,
yes.
No?
You're going to get poop in you. You got to break up. Absolutely.
Why are you saying no?
I don't know.
All right. Well, stay with him. Get to him.
No. Let him go.
God knows what this guy's doing.
It maybe just happened to catch him at one of his rendezvous.
Oh, boy.
And then he's busted. No matter how you got it, doesn't matter. He's busted. It's over.
And then call the blame game hotline.
That's right. 310.
You guys are whores.
752.
That's a whore.
That one was a joke because you made fun of me for being so proud the first time.
No.
We'll do it again.
If there were real whores, they would have let me give out the number, but forget it. We'll take ourselves a little break. Now, blame game is here, and we'll be back, and maybe I'll give you the number after this.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute.
Yep. It's Love Line. We're going to take a quick 10-second timeout, then we'll be back with more of the fabulous program in just 10 seconds.
This is Love Line on Radio Zone 105, KZNR Lakeville, KZNT Cambridge, KZNZ Eden Prairie. This is Zone 105.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Kara Jason and Chris are all here from the Blame Game, 5 o'clock, Monday through Friday on MTV. Phone number, if you look like you're between 18 and 24, and you're an ex-couple, 310-752.
Right. Mm-hmm. You've been a model.
Yeah.
854-752.
True. No one knows radio like Drew. When they get halfway into the goddamn phone number, he's got to pipe up. After the phone number issue at the end of the last break. All right. You ready? You're quiet there, Drew?
Sure.
Fine. You ready? Shut up, Drew. 310-752-8142. Hey, got it out. Hey. 752-8142.
You could win a tropical vacation.
You could?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Where to?
Paradise.
Yes.
Palm
trees.
I believe it's not determined as of yet this season, but we have in the past sent people to Cancun.
Jamaica.
Wow.
Jamaica.
Puerto Vallarta, is that right?
In Puerto Vallarta.
Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Nice. All right. Yeah. I'm guessing this time you're heading out to the Salton Sea halfway to Palm Springs, but that's just my guess. Cameron?
Yeah.
You're 20. What's up?
Well, it's this interesting thing. When I have sex, can't orgasm. But when I'm masturbating, orgasm all the time.
I see. And, is this with the same girl, or is this with everyone you've ever been with?
Well, it's most noticeable with the girl I'm with now. Happened a couple times in the past with different girls, but it was just one time, and attributed to being tired. You know, and
are you on any medication?
I'm on Effexor right now.
That's what's doing it, Jason. That's it.
Really?
Absolutely.
Because I was on Zoloft before, and
well,
Zoloft typically
will decrease your libido, may not delay ejaculation like that, but Effexor can certainly do it.
Okay, Effexor can. But why can I still orgasm then when I masturbate?
Because you're sort of properly. Wired, yeah.
Yeah, you've been at that for years.
Okay. Yeah.
You need to talk to your doctor about Wellbutrin or Remeron or Cerazone. Those really don't affect sexuality very much at all.
All right.
In fact, may increase it a little bit sometimes.
All right. Are you in a certain position when you masturbate each time?
No, standing up, sitting down, laying down.
Sitting down?
One hand.
How does a sitting down work?
Yeah, I know it's shocking to you.
Why does that surprise you?
Yeah, I don't go for the sitting down. That seems strange to me.
Holy Jesus, sitting down, Adam.
Yeah.
Sitting down. Well, you know, you're in the car sometimes. Drive.
Hey, a kid makes a good point.
That's true.
You got to do something to relieve tension so you don't have road rage.
No, I understand.
Yeah, I think more people should masturbate when they're driving, so no road rage.
Listen, I don't like to brag, but I have peeled one off on a mountain road while driving a manual shift truck.
That's
yes. Oh, yes. Yes. It was, I think it was Rambla Pacifica, which if anyone knows that area up in Malibu, they're very windy.
I mean, Rambla Pacifica?
Rambla Pacifica. Up off of Mulholland, up in Malibu, I was building a house which had burnt down since, and I got the urge, and I realized I wasn't going to be home for about 10 hours. I better squeeze this one off now.
What did you? dare I ask this question?
Yeah.
Into what?
Into what? Well, let me tell you something about driving a crappy Nissan. It's not like I had velour seats in that thing. It was a vinyl bench seat with, vinyl floor mats.
Certainly had the Berber carpeting, though.
No.
I don't want to spoil that.
No Berber. I mean, really, that interior of that old 85 Nissan truck, I could literally just hose it down.
Evidently.
And had to on many occasions, yes.
And, of course, you're wearing work clothes, so a small stain wouldn't be noticed.
Yeah, I was a carpenter. Yeah, no one knew the better. I don't know. I may have had I had like a Thomas guide spread over my belly or something. I don't exactly remember. Sports page or I think I had my penis through a Happy Meal. Actually, that's what it was. It makes a nice trough.
McDonald's would be pleased about that.
You make the hole right in the middle there. It works. It's quite effective. Put a little silicone caulk around the opening there. It's almost watertight. All right. Peter.
Yeah.
You're 23.
Yeah. No,
what's
I'm 22.
Up? I mean, you're 22. That's right. What's up?
I got a girlfriend. She's a virgin. And I was wondering if y'all could tell me the best position to deflower her to where it doesn't...
Wheelbarrow. Hands down, wheelbarrow. No ifs, ands, or buts, wheelbarrow.
No, I heard that it's best when she's on top because she got more control.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Not bad?
Well, okay, here's what you don't want, I believe.
Karen's really something personal about herself now.
Too much.
Well, I'm not
going to
throw
back
a doggy style and go to town on it, but, you know.
Well,
that's sweet. You're not going to go to town on it. It's true love, you guys.
All right,
true love.
Let's talk to Carr about this.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's explain
it.
Let's
do process of elimination here. So obviously anything bizarre, like where he gets in a rattan chair, wicker chair hanging from a rope or something, it's not going to work, right?
Gentle and romantic are probably the words you want to kind of use.
Doggy's a little rough. Doggy's a little rough. Now, I always say if a woman is uncomfortable, she should get on top because she can then sort of dictate the cadence, pardon the pun.
Yeah, but the first time, I mean, you're like, you're figuring out, you're going through struggles, like not,
right.
No, you're
giving
want...
too much responsibility.
It may be, you may bite off more than you could chew, that's true, but on the other hand, if Peter, you know, I have to figure out what size, anyway, all the apostles are calling Peter, how big are you? How much do you weigh?
I'm 6'2", 190.
All right, so you're pretty good load. And what about her?
She's about 5'4", 130.
Wow.
Let's see, all right. So
she's thick, though. You know,
she's thick, she's sturdy.
Well,
she's sturdy, you're not going to crush her.
She's got the sturdy undercarriage.
You get on top of her, but you be a gentleman when you screw her, do you?
And, we were talking earlier how, there aren't very many virgins over the age of 22, right?
Right.
And she's the same, she fits in that category.
Yeah, mm-hmm. which could mean a little baggage, though, right?
Baggage.
Well, I mean, there's a reason she's a virgin, right?
Well, it has to do with her culture and her religion. She's Catholic, she's Mexican, you know, she's real traditional.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But how come most of them are knocked up by 14?
She don't fall in that category.
All right, Peter.
They got to learn what Kara already knows.
You just
if you do it in the butt, it doesn't count.
That's right. Every good Catholic girl knows that. Went to Boston College. Come on, bring it to me.
All right, so you get on top, but be sensitive. I just sometimes women feel like they're a little bit trapped, and if the guy gets a little overzealous.
Yeah, well, if he's sensitive, I don't think there'd be a problem with that.
All right, I'll go.
I mean, she might be a little bit daunted to be like, hey, why don't you climb on? You know, it's your first time, and kind of like, I don't really know the whole
rhythm. No, I understand. I'm with you.
Okay.
Randy?
Yeah.
You're 27.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Well, about 4 years ago, my wife had a hysterectomy because she had endometriosis. The doctor took everything except for the uterus, claiming that that would help hold the bowels and, you know, everything else up.
Right.
And since the hysterectomy, it has been very painful for her to have intercourse.
Yeah, Drew.
And what's up?
Drew's got a post going on there. What's up, Drew?
Well, I just, why did they do the hysterectomy in the first place? Or they took the ovaries and the tubes out, right?
Right.
The oophorectomy, self-injectomy.
Because of the endometriosis.
Yeah, but what was the symptom she was having that caused them to do that?
Well, she was having pain.
When you had sex?
No, all the time, basically.
And that's gotten better?
Well, that it's gotten better.
You know where I'm going with this.
Other than the sex now. Yeah. Before, it was all the time.
Yeah. Whatever it is you're saying, say.
Well, was she sexually abused?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, how do you know, Drew? I mean, why do you know?
Because unexplained pelvic pain that doesn't get better with traditional kinds of intervention, and it particularly surrounds sex and penetration, even after comprehensive treatment, that's a red flag for me that somebody's been sexually abused.
But there wasn't any pain during intercourse before the
Well, I'm just telling you, unexplained pelvic pain, for me, the next 1, 2, and 3 reasons for that is sexual abuse. It's always there. Whether you want to create a causative relationship or not, it's always there. And it's something that ought to be dealt with before somebody starts carving on her some more.
I wasn't sure if maybe the endometriosis pain in the uterus.
Yes, it can. And it's, of course.
All right, but here we go. Randy, how did Drew know? I guess is the question.
No, yeah, I know. I understand that.
Okay, so why don't you...
penetration is the worst.
It could have something, or some remnant for the surgery, and it could be some residual endometriosis. It's possible, but you're not dealing with it. There's an elephant in the living room, and you're not dealing with it.
Right.
And there's a bigger thing at issue here that's just left untreated. In the meantime, people are carving her up.
Well, maybe she got some treatment for it. Randy?
Yes.
Has she ever gotten any treatment for the sexual abuse?
Yes, sir.
She has?
Yes. In what way?
She's been through psychologists. She's had therapy for that for several years.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, she needs to be talking about this particularly in that context. And it's something that's manageable, and it's something you need to sort of work with a team on. Her psychologist needs to be talking to a gynecologist, and these people need to be working together to try to get her some relief. But be careful.
We weren't sure if maybe if the uterus was removed, if it would get better.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And
a doctor
that will agree to remove the uterus.
Yeah, Randy, that's telling you something. A doctor to agree to it. Now, see, if somebody agreed to taking the tubes and the ovary out, that's why you're in the position you're in already. Forcing these treatments that are incredibly aggressive. And
maybe if she slips a guy 20, he'll do it. Yeah. Hey, Randy.
Yeah.
I would say pursue the psychological end of this a little more. I mean, the fact that she's had some therapy is good, but for what she's been through, which sounds like a lot, she may need more therapy, quite a bit more.
A lot.
And that's the angle you should pursue for now. And why not pursue that angle? You don't have to go under the knife.
Yeah.
So, Drew, you're saying that the reason she had this hysterectomy in the first place may have been very connected to the emotional.
Well, you hear that we can't find somebody to take her uterus out. You can't find somebody to take it out because there's no reason to, and you're forcing this.
Yeah. Randy doesn't seem like he wants to hear about the psychological part of it either.
Uh-uh.
Oh, just, man. All right.
I deal with stuff like that every day.
You do?
With
your wife?
No, people they just don't want to hear reality.
Well, it's amazing how stigmatized things are, which is people would rather go under the surgeon's knife than be told, hey, you got to get a little therapy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's listen, I was sitting in the therapist's office today, and I was barely molested.
I'm talking about your pelvic pain, too. It helped, didn't it?
No, but I mean...
It didn't help?
People, listen, I swear to God, I've said this a million times, I'm sitting in the therapist's office today because my dad missed a couple of Pop Warner football games when I was 11. You know, forget about him raping me. And if he raped me, that'd be it. I'd never leave the therapist's office. And these people are like, yeah, I talked to a guy for a few weeks, cleared up a few issues about the...
It's all good now. It's fine. It's fine.
My dad sodomized me from 5 to 13. I made a couple of visits over to the shrink's office. I got all cleared up.
I don't know what's wrong with my lungs. I don't like sex.
Right.
Take out my mind.
Everybody, go back to the shrink. Christina. Christina. Oh, boy. Is she asleep? Or maybe she gave the wrong name. Now, chicks don't snore, though, Drew. That's really no fun. No, sometimes people fall asleep, and they really do some good snoring on the air. Let's see. Steve?
Hi.
Hey, you're 26. What's up?
Not much. I got a question for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm. Are you gay?
No.
Okay. You realize everyone thinks you are, though, right?
My question is, my girlfriend's been wanting to perform oral sex on me.
You're gay.
Oh. I'm gay.
Yes?
But, I carry the antibodies for herpes, and I was wondering if she performed oral sex on me, would she get it?
In her mouth?
Well, what do you mean you carry the antibodies to herpes?
That's what my doctor told me.
Yeah, I had that test.
What does that mean? You don't like that test?
I don't like it. It's getting better, but I still don't like it.
You need a visual to detect herpes?
You need a clinical, yeah. You have a history of herpes?
I've never had an outbreak, but I've been tested positive for it.
Why were you tested?
Because my ex-girlfriend had it.
Oh, that's interesting.
So your ex-girlfriend had it. You now carry the antibodies for it, but yet it doesn't manifest itself on your penis.
No.
Right. Interesting.
I would think it would be very unlikely that you would transmit it to her mouth if you were not having symptoms. But I can't tell you it's impossible.
Ah, go ahead, Steve.
That's pretty much a green light, though. Dr. Drew just said, go for it.
I'm giving her the beige light, you know what I'm saying?
Yellow light.
I mean, yellow.
See with caution.
I'm giving her the purple light. All right, Steve?
Okay.
All right, have fun.
All right, thank you.
All right. Wow, it's weird. We never got that call, have we?
Not like that.
Sarah? Or Sorrow? Or what the?
Hey.
What the hell name is that? What is your name?
Sorrow?
Yeah.
Wow. Is that caller who goes by Sorrow, or is that...
No, that's my name.
Wow.
What's your brother Payne and his cousin
Anxiety.
Angst? Yeah.
The parents had a real good time.
I'm actually Armenian.
All right, Sarah, what's going on?
Well, actually, my parents are probably getting a divorce, and they're constantly bad-mouthing me. I mean, bad-mouthing...
Each other?
Each other to me, and it's, like, really starting to affect me, and just about the whole divorce, I don't know how to protect my little sister, you know, to try to, like, shield her from it as much as possible.
Oh, boy, so you're,
How old is she?
She's, 8.
You're taking care of everybody, the parents, your sister, everybody but Sorrow.
Right.
Yeah, you really have to step up a little bit and defend yourself, which is, hey, you're the parents, I'm the child. This is not right to put me in this position.
Yeah, I actually asked you that because you came and spoke at my school, because I go to your rival high school.
Uh-huh.
And I asked you about that, and you told me to speak up, and I've told them numerous times, but I guess my mom's kind of in a fragile position. She's just like me, kind of emotional type. And
hold on, you go to Drew's rival high school?
Yeah.
And you spoke there?
Huh?
And I spoke there?
Well, you spoke at your school, and we were there.
Okay.
And you also came to speak to our school about AIDS and drugs and stuff.
I think he was just trying to create a diversion to steal the mascot, wasn't you, Drew? Was that part of your diabolical plan at the rival high school? And so you go to a private school then, right?
Yeah.
Right, what's the name of your school?
Flint Ridge Prep.
What's it called?
Flint Ridge.
Flint Ridge?
Yeah.
I thought if you had a private school in the Los Angeles area, had to have the word pine in it somewhere. Is that, are you violating some sort of code by not having pine crest logwood?
I'm sure we are.
Yeah. All right.
Sarah, listen, there are lots of good therapists out there where you live. So how about getting somebody that's there for you who can sort of pull family members in if need be? And really, if your parents will not hear you, and they are still, really, this is a form of abuse, frankly, if they're really putting you in harm's way this way,
Yeah, my parents got divorced when I was like 7 or 8, but they never did that. I think one time my dad started piping up about how evil my mom was, but I just jumped in. Hey, you're preaching to the choir. Come on, I live with the bitch. Are you kidding me? Come on, Pops.
I had that thing where my parents got divorced, but they didn't start unloading until 20 years later, so they were 18 years later. Like,
well, that's right.
What I never told. Yeah, no, it was all right. It was all right, but it was still a little bit behind the dark green door.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Once you get out of the house, it's all right. But I tell you, my situation, I really understood why both of them wanted a divorce. It was I look at my mom, yeah. I wanted annulment. And then I was 8. I thought I'd still back out of this thing. Still time to be adopted. Come on, I'm cute. I still got my baby teeth. No, seriously, I'd look at my mom and go, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And then I'd look at my dad and I go, yeah, I can see what's going on here. I mean, I don't blame either one of you. Frankly, I can't figure out why you two got together. That's where my real, that's where the pain comes in. And it's confusion. What the hell brought you two together? Drew, it's too bad your parents didn't get divorced, huh?
No.
Yeah?
No?
Really? Hmm. They're still together,
yep.
right?
Yep.
You think your mom knows it?
Knows that they're together?
Yeah.
I think so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. I thought they were a time or two. I'm not sure if she knows they're together. I had to point your father out to her. Huh? Who is that? Who did she call him a slob? I said, you're married to him.
Yeah. Ooh.
She quieted down, put her drink right down. All right. Andrew?
Yeah?
You're 20.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I'm 20 years old, and I'm just wondering, I'm having problems getting my penis erect, and I'm wondering why that might be.
Mm-hmm. Are you on any medication or anything?
No. The only medication that I actually do take is albuterol for asthma.
Yeah. Drew, does that do anything to the pee-pee?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. No. Have you ever had this problem before?
In the past, yeah. It's just actually been happening more often.
When does it occur?
Whenever me and my girlfriend...
Every time?
Not exactly every time, but it's like most of the time, yeah.
Are you anxious?
No.
Are you boozing a lot?
No, I don't drink, and I used to do drugs, but I haven't done drugs in about 6 months.
What drug did you do?
I was doing acid.
I was going to say, I occasionally run into this problem where people did a lot of acid.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Did you do a lot of acid?
Not a lot, but I did it.
Enough to say he was doing it.
Yeah, how many times? More than 30?
Yeah.
He's going through his journal right now.
More than 50? Because you get up around 100 and you're in.
No.
You're hanging with the white rabbit.
I'd say somewhere around 50.
Yeah, it could be.
All right, so what should he do?
At a very minimum, it could easily be depression associated with it, because past the 50 times, you will have depressions. That's it, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Virtually, in my experience anyway. And you want to see a psychiatrist who has experience dealing with drug and alcohol abuse, because there actually are things that can help you out pharmacologically with this.
All right, let me just say hi to Karen before we go to break. Karen?
Yes?
You're 26?
Yes.
And you're having sex with your cousin?
Actually, it's my second cousin.
All right.
That's right.
I was just wondering...
Boring!
If we were to have children, what kind of... If there would be a sex on the kids?
Well, it's not the healthiest thing you can do, but it's not necessarily going to result in problems.
I don't think medically or physically there's going to be a problem. Psychologically, you got two cousins that are humping.
Yeah,
so
Thanksgiving.
You don't have a couple of geniuses who got together in the first place. If you really want to break it down that way, I mean, you know what I mean. You got two family members who decided to get it on. So in terms of forget about nature. Let's talk about nurture.
Right, you have
two people are having.
How much other opportunity must these two have had? None.
You mean in terms of other folks? Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I guess the bottom line is if I was on a desert island with my second cousin, eventually I'd get around to nailing him. It's Greg. Greg's kind of husky if he lost a couple of pounds, but I guess he would just living off of, wild grasshoppers and coconuts and whatnot.
The storyline of Blue Lagoon 3.
Yeah, weren't you in that?
I think eventually I'd give it to him, or vice versa. But the point is you figure if you're living, you know, smack dab in the middle of a nice city, you can go ahead and go to school and find yourself a lass over there or a boyfriend over there.
But again, as far as the genetic thing goes, maybe people weren't coming to them.
Let me just...
You know what I'm saying?
All right. Well, listen, we'll get back. Karen?
Yeah?
Yeah, we're not done making fun of you.
Okay.
All right? So hold on, though.
Okay.
All right. It's a dubious honor, but it's still an honor. All right, so hang on.
Okay.
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. The Blame Game crew is in here. You guys want to talk over the part where I give out the number, or you want to just sort of plan your strategy during the break?
I'm going to go to the bathroom and get some water.
All right. I'll give the number out if you want to get involved with being on the Blame Game. And Monday through Friday, 5 o'clock on MTV. We'll be back after this.
Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Love Line. Drew got himself a nice big sack of chips, so get ready for some good radio.
Crunch it up.
Kara, Jason, and Chris are all here from the Blame Game Monday through Friday, 5 o'clock on MTV. And 310-752-8142 is the number you could call if you're interested in being a participant on that show. And I'm told that my little brother, Nathan, my Catholic little brother, not biological little brother, is on the phone. I haven't spoke to him, and it must be, 2 years or something. Nathan?
Oh, I'm sure it's longer than that.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you owe me money?
Probably.
All right. Now, what's... Well, first off, hi.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
I was talking about Nate last night with his buddy Team, the Russian rapper.
What happened to Tim?
What happened to Team?
As far as I know, I'm sure he's probably locked up by now.
In jail. That's what his prediction was.
That's my prediction, but I don't know for sure. And Nathan, you don't know either, do you?
No, I don't know. But the last time I saw him was with a 5-foot bong.
Oh, really?
Several years ago.
Wow. Kind of. Oh, yeah.
Where are you now?
Culver City.
Oh, you're in Culver City?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you come by here and say hi?
We should score some hoes.
That's what he sounded like, wasn't it?
Pretty much. That sounded about like...
Am I exaggerating when I say he was the blackest white Russian you've ever seen in your life?
That's no exaggeration.
We got to get some beaches because they are dope.
So, Nate, what are you doing? Something with computers, I hope?
Definitely.
What are you doing with them computers?
Doing network support.
Oh, good. You're making money?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good. I told you that education was for dodos, right? You stuck with the computers. You didn't go to junior college, did you?
Nope.
Yeah, that's right. You stuck with the computers, right?
That's right.
That's right. Just like your big influential brother told you. Remember that time I lent you my phone card and you fell in love with that chick in Kentucky over the internet and you got my phone shut off?
Man.
Nate, if I'm lying, I want you to stop me, all right?
Oh, you're not.
When I handed you that phone card because your mom told you you couldn't make any more phone calls from the house because you fell in love with this chick over the internet who lived in Kentucky when he was 15 years old, I handed him my phone card and I said, Nate, here's the deal. And I was poor and pissed, right, Nate? I handed Nate,
giggle.
Nate, we ate a Taco Bell every time we went out, right?
Pretty much.
I gave him my phone card and I said, listen, brother, I'm giving you this phone card. Now, here's the deal. I get the bill every month for this phone card and I don't have a pot to... And as a matter of fact, you are going to pay for any call that's in Kentucky because I don't make calls to Kentucky. You got a little job at the snack shack at your high school. Anything on the bill that's in Kentucky, you'll pay for at the end of the month. Now, use the phone card as long as you want. Use it responsibly. Call your girlfriend in Kentucky. It wasn't even his girlfriend. He just met her over the internet. Call her every day, but talk to her for 4, 5, 6 minutes and then hang up. Or don't call her for a couple days and talk to her for 10, 15 minutes and hang up. But the point is if you go nuts, I'll know about it, and you won't be able to pay the bill, and I'll shut this thing off, and you'll never be able to call your girlfriend in Kentucky. I understand. 2 weeks later, my phone gets shut off. Shut off! I didn't even get a letter. My phone got shut off. I called them up, and I was like, why'd you shut my phone? It's like between billing periods. Like, somebody got hold of your phone card and went nuts.
We knew you couldn't possibly pay.
$235 worth of Kentucky phone calls they made in about 8 days. Right, buddy?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Did he ever meet the girl? Did you meet the girl?
You never met her, did you, Nate?
Oh, no. I got rid of that.
It was funny, though.
You got her loose.
Well, someone got rid of someone. We'll figure out who got rid of who later.
You couldn't afford a call.
Nate was great, too, with the next pitch was road trip to Kentucky was his next idea. Yeah. And it's like, we're going to drive your car that barely makes it to my house to Kentucky over the summer. And don't worry, I'll drive half the time, even though I don't even have a learner's permit at this point. All right, those were the good days, though, weren't they, Nate?
Yeah.
Now I'm a big star, right?
Yep.
That's right.
That's the family's star.
Right. No, no thanks to
you.
But, Nate, seriously, here's your chance to tell everyone how great I am. Go right ahead.
Adam's the best. He always has been.
Whatever.
There you go. And this wasn't some celebrity BS I got roped into. I was a Catholic Big Brother.
They're calling from the other room. I see the guy.
Long before any of this TV or radio nonsense. Of course, I would never do it again. All right. Hey, Nathan. So you got? Are you on your own? You living alone?
Not alone, but definitely out of the house.
What, do you have a roommate?
Girlfriend.
Oh.
Hey, nice.
Is he from Kentucky?
Yeah.
No, not from Kentucky. Further.
Yeah. Really? I have his first pubic hair in my wallet. I don't know if you know.
Sure you do.
Girlfriend's from Sri Lanka?
Where is your girlfriend from?
New Hampshire.
Very All right. good. All right. Stay one of the Kennedys. Great. Girl.
Yeah, exactly. Someplace there is no inbreeding.
All right. Hey, Nate. I'm gonna put you on hold so I can get your home phone number from you. All right.
All righty.
All right. You come. Why don't you come down to the man show? We're taping on Saturday.
All righty.
Pay a little visit to your old big brother. All right. Hold on a second, Nate.
All right.
All right. Oh, there you go. You see what a positive influence I was on the child?
Yes.
Now, you know what I told him, and I want to tell everyone this. I don't know why everyone goes nuts with the schooling. Stay in school. Stay in school. It's like, okay, but I'm a horrible student. I don't care. Stay in school, you know, but I suck. You're going to college. Just go to junior college, and then you can go to college. It's really weird. Like, Nate was a horrible student, but he was good with computers. And I told him, listen, you'll be making $50 an hour programming computers or doing a tech support or whatever the hell you're doing. Forget about college. So what? You get a bachelor's degree. What the hell are you going to do? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying education's a bad thing. I'm saying if you're good at one thing and you're not good at the other thing, do the thing you're good at, make your money. And if you want to go to college, take some correspondence crap over the internet or something.
Sure you weren't just trying to get him back for getting your phone shut off?
Yeah, I was trying to ruin his life.
Right.
Don't go to school.
He had a full ride to Stanford but on a basketball scholarship, but I talked him right out of that. I got him signed up at DeVry. Now he's making $9 an hour plugging in computers.
The worst thing my little brother ever did to me was to pee on me.
Oh, yeah, Nate never did that.
He dragged me out of bed one Sunday morning, and I get him back by telling this story as many times as possible, and now I'm doing it on national radio. He pulled me out of bed on a Sunday morning, dragged me across the floor. I had no idea what was happening. I was groggy. He tied his belt from his robe around my ankle.
I love this guy.
And then tied the other end to the doorknob. Right as I'm waking up,
awesome.
My leg is in midair, so I have no balance. His pants are down, and he's peeing on me before I know it.
I love this guy.
But wait, you forgot the part where you really liked it.
Yeah, that was one part you did kind of leave that on. Wow, this is a little brother, too.
Yeah.
You must have been some kind of puss. I mean, a little brother. Get worked over by your little brother.
Seriously?
Is he bigger than you?
No.
No.
Well, now he is. Now he's a little bigger than me. But back then, he was definitely smaller than me.
Wow, that's really wuss material. Yeah. John.
Is it in it, though?
John.
Yeah, hey.
You're 15. Wake up now. What do you want?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say that, I mean, you guys are great. I mean, I learned a lot from your show, and it helps a lot.
Thanks. What's your question?
Well, my question is that, like, I've been dating my ex-girlfriend now for about a year and a half, and, like, through that year and a half, we always break up because every time we break up, we start flirting again, then we get closer.
Yeah, all right.
And we'll start over.
All right, I'm bored. What do you want?
Well, anyway, we did it again, and then all of a sudden she still says, oh, we're going to get close again, and...
All right. I just don't care.
He says he learned a lot from the show, but he didn't learn to not smoke pot.
Yeah, boy, I smoke a lot of weed. Jesus. All right, he's 15. Him and his girlfriend keep getting together and breaking up. Everyone does
when
this
you're
at 15.
It's the gig, right?
Yes. Don't get anyone pregnant. Don't stalk anybody. Don't knife anybody. Fine. We'll move on. All right?
Enjoy.
Annie?
Mm-hmm.
You're 19. What's up?
Well, I'm having some problems with my boyfriend right now.
Yeah.
I got a job, and he was jobless, and we were looking for a place. And he said he wanted to get a job with me. He said it's a really great job. It's a catalog company. And now we're together, like, all the time, and he's starting to get on my nerves, and I'm starting to get on his nerves, and something has to change in order for us to get along and not, you know, kill each other and break up.
Do you guys work right next to each other?
Well, it's sort of busy in the early hours. It's hard to find a place to sit because the cubicles are rowed, and, you know. And
I have no idea what she just said.
The cubicles are in a row?
In a row, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
are you guys in the same cubicle?
We usually in the early hours, it's we're separated, but towards the end of the day, we're together, sitting right next to each other.
Don't get any more of this kind of detail from her.
So you're always together is what you're saying. And you live together, too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want him to find a new job?
Well,
I don't care. I just stopped caring. I stopped caring about 18 months ago. But tonight, it's really hit its zenith. I just don't care. And people take like 20 minutes to answer the same goddamn question I asked them a half hour ago, and I'm done. I'm done. Are you guys in the same cubicle? Well, in the morning hours. Oh, Christ. Oh, I just don't care. Listen, it doesn't... Any woman who's with a guy... Let me tell you something about women. I know the broads. They love to be with guys. They want to smother the guy if they like the guy, especially if the relationship's new. They want to be with the guy. It's the guy that's usually feeling like he's being encroached on and being smothered. If you're a woman and you can't handle living with someone that you're working with, if it's a new relationship, you're not that into the dude.
Right.
Come on.
You want to work with...
You're not that into the guy.
You're right. I mean, I don't know. And also, I got to say it, 19, why are you living together when you're 19?
Is she 19?
But right. Take some time. Look through the world.
That's right. That's right.
Date it up. Date.
Car and I have had a pretty good time working together.
Don't even start.
What? You don't like it?
We're going to take ourselves a nice little break here, and we'll be back with more of the show in about 4 minutes.
Yo, Bubline will be right back.
Blame game, everybody. When is that blame game on, Drew? That's right. Monday through Friday, 5 o'clock. Tell me. You must tape it, Drew, because you're not in front of the TV at that time.
You got TiVo, right?
I want to get that TiVo. Mm. Is that the way to go?
I haven't had it.
It doesn't seem like it's worth it.
It is true. Everybody
knows it has it. Just
I'm making a big
it.
TiVo.
You can stop your TV. No, you can program, here's the shows I want to watch. It'll absorb all that and then sit
that's
down.
Right, that's already too much. I need something I can yell at.
I think they have an audio. They got an audio.
I need a guy named Steve-O who stands by my VCR and does what I tell him to do. Has that been invented yet?
Just put on Stu. Yeah, but do you want to leave him in your house when you're not there?
Yeah.
That's true. You're right.
He's got guys like that in his house.
Yeah, I do have those guys already.
Oh,
and I'm scared they'll fight with my current guys. You're right. All right. We'll talk to Ricky, who's 17. Ricky?
Yep.
You broke up with your girlfriend, and her mom started hitting on you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Have you done anything about that?
Well, the thing is, no, I didn't, she just made passes at me, and, like, I kind of, like, turned her off. But, me and my friend aren't getting along right now, and he saw what she was doing, and my girlfriend didn't. Now, me and my friend aren't getting along, and I'm worried that he might say something to, you know, tell my ex-girlfriend.
What did he see exactly?
Well, what he saw was, her sitting on my lap saying that she loved me and, that, you know, I wish things would work out between, her daughter and I, and that, you know, if things didn't work out, if they didn't work out, that she was there and stuff like that. And,
that is twisted.
Yeah. He's not going to say anything to her.
Yeah, I'm hoping he won't.
Hey, listen, even if he does, he didn't do anything
wrong.
Yeah,
you're not in the wrong.
And she's your ex-girlfriend, right? Yeah. You already broke up.
Yeah, so who cares? You move on. And you just say, listen, we were just screwing around. She jumped on my lap, was making baby talk. You just, yeah, it's fine.
She's not going to buy that about her own mom anyway.
Yeah. Remember the, you know, it's funny. Your first impulse, like when you're a kid, is when you get pissed off at somebody, to tell. It's like, do you have that tattle instinct?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, I could remember, like, chasing my sister through the house. I'm sorry, sorry, sorry. No, I'm telling. You know, it's a weird, like, kid instinct, and it stays. It keeps going. And somehow you get in a, when you become an adult, somewhere you let that go, theoretically and hopefully. But it's a real strong.
That's what I did when my brother peed on me. I wanted to tell right away, and my mom thought it was too hilarious to punish him.
Oh yeah.
She thought it was hysterical.
That is
scarred me.
Well, especially the fact that he used his robe tie to hog tie
you, yeah.
And then hang you up off the doorknob and have at you. I mean, I love this.
Were you alive during the process? Did you not struggle at all?
I was in a dead sleep when he pulled me out.
That was a form of rape. That was not.
That was like a little deliverance. Trussing.
He took a little piece of your soul that morning, Shannon. You're 21.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, well, I've been with my boyfriend for about 2 years.
Yeah.
And, well, it's kind of weird because, like, the first 6 months of our relationship, I'm, like, extremely sexual. And then, like, after that, I'm, like, anti-sex. Like, I push him away.
Yeah.
And I feel guilty about it, but I'm just, like, not into it anymore.
That's just this relationship.
It's what?
Has this happened in other relationships?
It happens in every relationship I've ever had.
Okay. Anything happened to you growing up?
Yeah, I knew that was going to be your first question, and yes.
What happened?
My dad got a little too friendly with me ever since I can remember.
Well, that is often what happens to people who are molested. They become hyper-aroused or completely shut down.
Right, and you're becoming both in the same relationship.
Yeah.
So But
the other problem is...
What'd your dad do with you?
He's just a little too interested in the way I look, the way I act. You know, he's always telling me that I'm pretty, and I don't have any contact with him now.
Well, did he touch you?
Yeah, in the past.
Mm-hmm. In the past?
Yeah.
Like for a long period of time?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a big thing. I quite frankly, listen, I don't want to scare you, but I really don't know how you can ever be right in front of a man after your dad does that to you.
I know.
And I hope he dies a slow and painful death. Not too slow.
You and me both.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like it to happen over the course of, let's say, just a couple of days. But you really got to get some therapy, Shannon.
Okay, well, that's the second problem, is when I was young, my dad actually convinced my mom that I had my own mental problems.
Oh, man.
And the reasons that I was acting out when I was a kid was because I had problems or whatever.
Yeah.
So I've been to numerous counselors, numerous therapists, because my dad told everyone I was nuts.
Well, yeah.
So now I've, like, built up this wall against anybody who tries to help me.
All right. Well, knock it off.
Well, easier said than done.
Well, listen, go to the shrink and start paying for it. It helps you sit up straight.
Do you want to change or don't you?
Yes.
Okay. Right.
You go to the shrink.
And go change.
Yeah, you called the show. You don't have that big of a wall.
Your dad's not sending you this time. You're going on your own.
When your father sent you, though, did you talk about your father abusing you?
No.
See, it's different now. I mean, you're in control. You're changing your life, you know?
We've talked about this many a time. That, to me, there's no more flawed individual than one that approaches a child sexually, their own child. I mean, that, to me, goes against every grain, and I'm not even a decent guy. I'm really not. I worship Satan. Sure, you know that.
You were going to say every grain of decency, but you don't have any.
I don't have that, yeah. No. But had I had some grains of decency in me, had my silo been filled with something decent, I would be repulsed by this. I cannot imagine that. You know what I mean? I mean, I understand freaking out and smacking your kid one. I really do. Listen, I had a dog that was going nuts, you know, and I'd come flying down to that basement one morning and be like, bah, I'd be like, stop that, and I'd like whack at one. I mean, I understand like a lot of stuff, but coming at your kid sexually is so twisted. I mean, you're so broken. It is so bizarre. And you should be put to death because for two reasons. A, you're fundamentally effed up so badly that you could never be fixed. Right. I mean, if you think coming at your own kid sexually is if that's something that even crosses your mind when you're at your drunkest, you're effed up beyond repair, A, number one. B, number two, you do that to a five-year-old and their life is ruined. Right. It's over.
The repair needs to be done is just so intense.
Daddy climbs on you and forget it. You're like the goddamn federal building that was blown up. I mean, it's like, it's still there, half of it's there, but you can't go in, and it's just got to be torn down. I mean, it's not usable. They should be put to death. They really should. I don't care what's been done to them. The point is they could do it again. It's sick. Shannon, your only hope is therapy. I know you don't like it, and you're probably going to hate the one you go to, but that's just
part of the process. Yeah.
Emily?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
You're on Love Line.
Hi.
Hey.
A few months ago, my mom put in a transfer to move, like, 4 hours away.
Yeah.
Because her job is so stressful, and because my dad's an alcoholic.
Right.
Let's be away from him.
Mm-hmm.
So, he, like, quit drinking.
Jeez, what are you doing for your asthma, Emily?
Yeah, like,
wow.
Stop cold turkey and like,
seriously, Emily, your asthma. Are you getting treatment?
I have asthma.
Sounds like it.
I haven't seen a doctor yet.
You feel wheezy?
Yeah.
My God, I mean, it's each breath.
Well, you know, young people speak in gulps anyway, yeah. But, all right, get some help for your asthma, and your question is?
Now my dad's starting to drink again. And my mom's not
going to
tell him that she's moving without him.
All right, all right.
Stay out of it, Emily. Go to Alateen.
Alateen, get some Brimatine mist. Alateen and Brimatine are two things you have to focus on. And listen, you're 16, honey. I'm sorry your family's a mess. Hang out with your friends. Get involved with school and stay out of the house.
Go to college.
And don't bang around with the older guys in El Caminos.
Unless you're really good at computers, then college isn't necessarily the way to go.
Waste some time. We'll be back.
What's up? Loveline will be right back.
Hey, Loveline. Speaking of that, someone was trying to get my high school diploma.
Oh, impossible.
I don't have
it. Yeah, it doesn't exist.
It's on microfiche. I think I've got to work that out. All right, everyone. Blame game. Monday through Friday, 5 o'clock, phone number for that if you're in the L.A. area and you want to participate in your broken-up couple, 310-752-8142. No doubt, tomorrow night, guys, thanks a lot for coming in.
Yeah,
thank you. We'll see you soon. Until next time, Sam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Yeah, a little yeasty on the peckaroo.
Well, now, this has been Loveline. The stuff expressed on Loveline is not necessarily the stuff of the staff, management, sponsors, or anyone else, including Westwood One Entertainment. Loveline is produced by Ann Wilkins-Ingold. Now, please enjoy these birds.